Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and oh my goodness, I'm on the program right now with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Greetings.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I am good. Welcome to our December the 14th program. And let me tell you why that's an amazing date. We're almost halfway through December.
Ugh.
And we've got quite a financial challenge here to meet to be sure we end the year strong, all bills paid. And going in, because so much comes in at the end of the year, we have to have a certain amount that we know that we're going to have so we can stay on stations. If we don't have that, then we can't, or the people in charge won't allow us to. So we've got some really big challenges here, and if you can help us, we're going to send you an amazing Christmas ornament. It's wooden. It's got the New Life logo on it and the year. It's just a small way, but it's pretty neat, a small way of us saying thank you. Now, when you give to us, what are you giving to? Are you giving so that we can help people have better self-esteem? No, that's not what we do here. Our ministry from the very beginning has been committed to transformation, not feeling better, but maybe even feeling so bad that you decide, okay, it's time for me to get some help and get into relationships that are redemptive relationships. Thousands of people this past year joined us at our intensives, and they got the help that they needed. And, you know, it's just such a joy for us because we know these people. We hang out with them. They go on trips with us. They are us, and then they support us. Some serve on our board. I mean, it's amazing what happens when transformation occurs. You could be part of that just by supporting New Life. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you do, we'll try to get your name on the air here, and not the full name, but the first name, and tell people about what we do. Now, why is it important that we do what we do? Because I don't know of any place that brings the therapist in, the Christian counselors in, to do what we do, and then you go to this group, you hear the lectures, you hear the speakers, you hear the content, and then you go to work on it. And I'm telling you, whether it's a couple or an individual, it is intense. And then you leave, and most likely you leave with a totally different perspective. And, you know, Mylon, one of the joys we get to do is our marriage intensive. And so many of those folks say if we don't do something spectacular, they're not staying. But they stay.
You mean they stay together?
Stay together. Yeah, they stay for the workshop.
For the workshop. You know, it's amazing. Human beings, Steve and Dave, are not that inventive. We typically do a lot of things similarly in terms of reactivity, problems. Yeah. And, you know, you, Steve, Dave, me, we see nothing new. Everybody tends to form certain patterns, habits, and you know what? New Life is a place where we address those. And a couple has a chance to choose to do something different from that point on. It truly is transformative.
You know, working with couples over the years, both of us, or all three of us, there's about five or six predictable patterns. Mm-hmm. They're always unique in the specifics, but there's six patterns that once you understand those patterns, you roadmap of where to go.
And that provides help to and hope to a couple because they realize we're not alone.
That's
we're not
right.
some unique anomaly in a relational world, but somebody knows who and what we are, and they can provide answers on the way out.
But you have to call us and let us help you before we can do that.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. He's the author of How We Love. There's a new edition with workbook. You'll love it. And then Dave Stoop, he was just on Focus on the Family. And his book with his wife, Jan, Smart Love. He and I both were on with Take Your Life Back. So go to Focus on the Family, or I think you can actually get them in our website. You can hear stuff here. My sermon I gave for Thanksgiving, which was called Thanks Living, that's still on our website. And then we'll be telling you when my wife and I are on Family Life today. That we did four programs with them.
And they keep those programs on there on the website, so you can listen to them at any time, really, for I don't know how long they keep them on there, but quite a while.
Yeah, and Mylon and Kay are going back to Focus on the Family. And, you know, Focus on the Family and Family Life Today, these are quality programs that you can really learn a lot. And we're really glad that we get to be on their program, and then we have them come be on our program too. Right now, we're going to go back to the phones, or actually for the first time today, and we're going to go to Dallas, Texas. There's a lady there. She's on the line. She listens on Sirius XM at 12 noon. Central Time, Channel 131 on Sirius XM. Her name's Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Doing all right. Merry Christmas to you, and how could we help you today?
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Basically, my dilemma, or what I'm trying to figure out, is do I tithe or be a submissive wife and do what my husband wants, because we're not in agreement with tithing, basically. We've got some credit card debt we've accrued. We need to pay it off. We need a better job budgeting. And he knows that I tithe some. I take care of the bills. I do the shopping and those type of things. He's busy with work. He basically doesn't want to. I mean, and that's fine. He doesn't want to deal with it. I deal with it. But I know he's not going to be supportive of me tithing 10% every month. He knows the way he gets paid. He knows I do it with his bonuses. I told him I think that's important. But he doesn't know that I do it every month, and we actually just had a discussion about finances today, and I was scared to speak up and say, well, he's like, where is this money going? And I'm tithing, because I don't think he's going to be supportive of it, but I just feel like God's really convicted my heart in the last couple months to tithe. I listened to a message, and it was almost like screaming at me, like, you know, not the message, but just like convicting my heart, like, I'm not, you know, yes, we're tithing some. We tithe when it's convenient, but we don't tithe all the time.
Yeah.
And and okay. I felt like I talked to my husband, even when I said it, and I said, I don't know how to talk to you this without preaching at you, but I just think we need a tithe, you know, so I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, it's very tough, especially because if you look at Scripture, it really does sound like and feel like, and I believe it's true, that God is saying that the first 10% is His. He's just saying, that's mine. And so then you have the option of giving more after that. It's really an interesting perspective. And I think we're really not supposed to choose whether or not to tithe. It's just gods. Dave, you had a thought there.
Well, yeah. I think what you do, Rebecca, is say to him, let's make it an experiment. And let's see, let's test God, because he does say to test him in this area. That, and let's see what he does, because he's not necessarily blessings in terms of financial return. It's blessings in terms of blessing returns, and it has a condition in terms of a joyful heart when we give. So I would suggest to him, I would share with him my own convictions that God has been dealing with me on this, and I would really like to experiment for the next 6 months, and let's do the 10% and see what God does in our lives and in our finances.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll go along with that, but I do think that is a great approach, is to say, could we just try it and see if at the end of this period we are regretting that, or we actually are so happy that we took a risk and did it. But it sounds like it's pretty pretty heated topic, huh?
Yeah, it's just we're not in agreement with it. And I guess what I'm dealing with personally, since God's convicted me, like, I believe with you and agree that, you know, the Bible, the key command, we're commanded to do that, and it's not just if it's convenient. I have been tithing. We were able to pay my car off, and I thought, okay, we've got this extra money now. I'm going to commit to doing this, and I just did it on my own because I budget everything. And since then, you know, and before that too, it has been a relief in that I felt before that I couldn't pray to God like about my finances because I knew I wasn't being obedient, if that makes any sense. So it has freed me up to, okay, God, can you help us pray that we need to pay this credit card off? We need to get more control of our finances. But since then, I don't feel like I've made any headway in just little things like the dogs need to go to the vet. And then there was a problem, ended up being $700. And then a limb fell in the tree. It's like every month or something, and I can't make headway on this credit card. And I totally agree with you that there, you know, that God will provide, and I'm trusting in that. So I feel like making that argument, I say, oh, well, by the way, I've been doing it the last couple of months, and yeah, we haven't made any headway on it.
Yeah. So. Well, but the other thing is that God loves a cheerful giver, and for him to come at this begrudgingly, you know, that's another issue there. But here's another thing to do. If it's going to cause him to feel like you're betraying him, I have had and heard of a person who's in charge of the finances writing out that amount and putting it into a savings account or something and saying to God, this is yours, I'm not going to touch it. And when he's ready and when he's in agreement, that's when we'll work out to give that to you. It's not the perfect solution, but it is a solution
that's a great idea, too, have
tried.
But the other thing, Rebecca, is it doesn't mean that everything's going to work out for your finances. I think it's a much bigger picture than that in terms of the blessing. And it goes beyond just finances. You say that you haven't been able to make headway with the credit card, but you've got an attitude that is right on, and watch for other ways that God blesses besides financially, because it's not a guaranteed way to get money back.
And we realize that the limit is getting him to see that. But I don't think, and Mylon, if you have a different opinion, I'd like to know, but I don't think just going ahead and writing out that tithe check when it's going to cause this big conflict. I don't know that that's really going to...
I think putting it in a savings account is a great idea.
Well, I hear two things, Rebecca. Number one, I hear a certain level of fear in approaching your husband with difficult topics. And that is something that needs to be raised. And the two of you need to talk about that. You know, why am I afraid to talk to my husband? Or why do certain topics bring up fear or apprehension in my willingness to talk to him? So that may be something you want to talk about, maybe with a counselor. Why am I afraid to talk to you? Secondly, the other thing is that I'm hearing a lot of I statements as you talk about the budgeting and paying the bills and stuff. And even though you manually write the checks or you know, pay the bills, however you do it, I think he needs to be brought in every single month with a financial statement. You put him in front of him. And as a group, the two of you make decisions on what are you going to pay on certain things. He needs to be more responsible and feel a higher level of responsibility other than just making the money, but for what are the allocations for it. And I wouldn't give up on your commitment that this is something I want to do, but I would put him in a higher level of responsibility for, do you see where all this is going and how do we manage it and how do we pull it in? How do we make group decisions not to spend X number of dollars that we can't afford? So I'd pull him into the decision-making of where the money goes to.
It really is a great concept, Mylon, and so many people have found a different way of life by, even though maybe they're good at writing the checks and accounting and stuff, but you bring the other person in. It's just not a one-person show. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love. I think that's a great relationship builder, and that's coming your way. Anybody else wanting a copy of that, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's one of those books that has changed the lives of thousands of people, not only the lives of married folks, but the lives of counselors who have changed the way they're doing counseling once they discovered what Mylon and Kay have communicated so well and how we relate based on our attachment styles. And, oh my goodness, it's powerful. How We Love, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and that's the number you can call if you want to support us. Let's talk with Maria, Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure,
I really like how you are practical in your responses.
Thank you. We'll try to be practical with you.
So this is my question. I've been in a relationship perhaps too long, almost 7 years.
Oh,
wow. This guy has been divorced twice, and he keeps in very close contact with both of their ex-wives, and I've been fighting that. I try counseling, like couples counseling. We've done it like two or three times. I have tried breaking up with him and saying, I don't take this anymore, and he promises and cries and writes down all his plan, but it goes back to it again, and so at this point, he's offering a few different things. Like I suggest go to counseling by yourself until you figure out how to do this, because you just don't know how to let go. And so he already had one session with a therapist, and I'm not sure if that's going to work. And he offered to talk to both of the ex-wife with me next to him, and we did that with one of them already, and told them to not contact him, that the conversation are going to be only for emergencies, either health or financial crisis for the children. The children are, their youngest is 19, so they're not babies.
Okay, so what's the question
so
for us?
It's like, do I give him another chance? I mean, how do I believe him when so many times he's not done it? And if not, how do I move on and get somebody that it's not similar?
Okay. So if he said to you, let's get married right now, it seems like to me you would be agreeing to him staying connected with those women because he hasn't gotten the help to separate. So if you hang in there with him and he gets healthy, he may decide that he wants to be with somebody else. Now you could be 8 or 9 years into this. Let's see what Mylon and Dave have to say about this. Let's start with you, Dave. What do you think?
The statistics say if you haven't planned a wedding by 2 years, you probably won't. I think your best bet is the option you suggested, that he get into counseling and deal with this, and when he's done with it, to check back with you. And if you're still around and available, you'll be interested in hearing it. If you're not, if you've moved on, you've moved on. But he's holding on for some reason, and it probably has to do with something that you can't fix, because it's a deeper issue that has to do with abandonment and connection and fusion with somebody rather than connection.
And one thing that you ask is then, if the answer is for you to move on, how do you do that? And I don't know that it's possible for you to do that by yourself. You literally would have to have support from other people. You'd have to be in a support group
other
and
women.
Seeing a counselor, and because it's going to be very difficult for you to do that. And I really hope you would consider that maybe that's what you have to do to get your life back, and I will send you Take Your Life Back. Mylon, any comments here for her before we have to say goodbye?
Yeah, Maria, there's a reason why he's in contact with his two ex-wives, one of which being, you said, there's children involved. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, am I able and capable of sharing another human being with other people? What I'm hearing from Maria is I can't share my husband or my potential husband with anybody else because it's threatening. And that would speak possibly to the fact that you have some abandonment themes in your own history, that him separating or connecting or talking to an ex, which is in the real world something that has to happen every day with a lot of different families. We have to connect to talk about logistics and things. I need you to look at yourself and ask, why is this so hard for me to tolerate him talking to someone else?
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a break and come right back after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Dave Stoop, your phone calls. So glad you're with us here today. Let's see. Barry from Middletown, Maryland gave $100 toward our $1.5 million goal. And Frank from Pasadena gave $10. Thank you both so much. I know it's not easy to sacrifice and to give, but when you do, people get help. People do get help. So if you can help us, I know God's going to bless you for it. I really do believe you reap what you sow. I believe the generous heart ends up getting so much more back than the stingy person who depends on fulfillment through money. Let's go all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska on the New Life app. Sarah listens. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi there.
My call.
What's going on?
I was calling because I've been separated for 7 months. My husband lives in a rental unit that we own. I feel pretty stuck, trapped, and, really not sure how to move forward, or I had said we had been working with our pastors, pastor and what his wife, before we separated, and we set up a plan for how we would handle the separation.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy about the separation at all. He was concerned about financially making that work. And
had he been unfaithful to you? Had he been unfaithful to you?
He has struggled off and on with pornography.
Uh-huh.
There had been some physical abuse.
Uh-huh.
So
you needed to do this just to be safe, huh?
I needed it, yeah. Mentally, I really have struggled with just feeling crazy being with this man, with my husband, and trying to love him where he is, and then also raise our two girls mm-hmm. that are 5 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to think clear, and the separation, the pros of that have came from it, though, is I have seen his character more and more, and it
mm-hmm.
it made help me step back and see it's like, well, it's no wonder. It's yeah. no wonder this. So
more lack of character is what I'm hearing versus
character. Lack of character, right, yeah. right.
Okay. So what's the question for us? How could we help you with that?
Well, I've seeked legal advice. He really plays me like a yo-yo. He plays our girls like a yo-yo. He didn't follow through with anything mm-hmm. that we had made a plan or I asked. And unfortunately, I haven't known how to give consequences because I knew he wouldn't take it serious because he doesn't respect me. And
mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us how you think we could help you. What do you think we could do?
Well, spiritually, I'm struggling with giving up. I'm struggling with.
Okay. So ask us a question we might be able to help you with.
Well, I guess, how do you move forward with knowing that you, I'm feeling like a quitter pursuing divorce because I'm taking my kids, their dad, you know, like it's just, I'm breaking our family. And he will come back and tell me you didn't have it that bad. He said some really cruel things that kind of play my
right.
mind.
Because that's what he's trying to do is manipulate you. So what is the question we could answer for you that would be most valuable?
I don't really even know the questions to ask. Just the sheer struggle of what is. I don't know what a normal marriage looks like anymore. Like, I don't know that if I'm handling this correctly. He's a powerful man.
Let me ask you this real quick. What does your pastor say about this?
He left our church because he was upset with the separation. They're really baffled at his outlook on everything,
mm-hmm.
and his attitude, how he treats me. They feel I need to just move on.
Okay.
The girls move on with our lives.
Okay.
So you didn't continue to meet with your pastor and his wife after you separated?
He would not meet with them anymore. I still do. I also see a counselor
You said it feels like you're a quitter. He quit. He's not doing anything. You're still working. You're still working on you. He's not willing to come along.
Yeah.
And I just wonder this. I wonder if you were to take that bold move and file for divorce, but keep your heart open, I wonder if that might be enough for him to finally say, okay, she's serious. I got to do something here.
Yeah,
that's what
I
would
want.
The important thing that Steve just said to you, Sarah, is he's the quitter. He stopped the process. He's not moving anywhere. He wants everything to go back the way it was. And you're doing all kinds of things to move forward. And I'm with Steve, and you need to take that step to file.
And not to get a divorce, hopefully, but to see what he'll do.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done, because during the day we had these workshops, and at night we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yep, we are back, and we're right here talking with Sarah, and Mylon has a couple of things he'd like to say to you. Sarah, you still there?
I am.
All right, so here's Mylon's thoughts here about your particular situation.
Well, a couple of things. Something that you said troubled me, which was the pastor and his wife were baffled by your husband's behavior. And that alarms me, because that would, if you're baffled, you don't have anything, therefore, to say to the person. You don't know what direction to go. Somebody who, you know, typically a therapist is not baffled by people's statements and comments, because they've seen the gamut of people's comments. And your husband, if he is physically abusive, if he has very little ability to regulate himself, if he's isn't able to regulate his sexual thoughts and activities, then, you know, we've talked about this on our shows over and over again, but everybody's history plays out with time. And history ends up driving the bus. And until somebody is able to help him look at his history and help him to understand the reason he is dominant, dismissive, unkind, demeaning toward you, is odds are somebody was like that to him. And so it's not baffling. And you need to spend time with a therapist and get him into a therapist. As much as I care about churches and church, you know, leadership, sometimes they're baffled because they're not trained.
Okay, and this is so important. You know, there are lay counselors, there are pastoral counselors that can do so much, but if they're really good, they're going to be able to say at some point in some situations, this is beyond me, I'm going to have to send you to somebody who's dealt with this more often, or who's more comfortable with this, or whatever. That's really the key, is them being strong enough to say, I might be in over my head here because, well, quite frankly, I'm a little baffled by this. I haven't dealt with it before. So that's just a challenge to anybody that's coaching or doing pastoral counseling, is always being willing to know your limitations, because people's lives and marriages are on the line. And I just want to clarify, you know, again, sometimes folks don't do anything until they know you're serious, and a guy can let this play out until finally he sees, oh wow, she's going to file, and they're just, I've got to finally get my act together. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. George from Elverson, Pennsylvania gave $80 toward our year-end fund, and Lori from Ness City, Kansas, $300. Thank you. And Terry and Deborah, Columbia, Missouri. These folks are so generous. Thank you so much for this, and we will use it to help other people. Tracy, Martinsburg, West Virginia, listens on the internet. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
My question is regarding my mother. Like, I recently just found out she's a narcissist. I've looked at patterns through the past and now. And usually the cycle is where I would just ignore her and just cut her out of my life. And then she will just sneak her way back in and we'll try to have that relationship. And then again, she would do something just condescending or just something where she would just try to destroy me. And then I would cut her off again. And I just recently realized, most of the time when she actually makes the first move to contact me, it's because she is, angry at my other siblings. Usually she'll be with my other siblings and she'll be talking to them and everything is fine. And I'm like the black sheep. But then when she's there's something or a problem going on with them, she wants to reach out towards me. And I've been hurt so many times by her. You know, I'm always thinking maybe this is the last time. But this just happened recently again where she's done just the most despicable thing. And I'm just like in a place where I'm confused. I'm like, can I really just cut off my mom for good? But even when I try to explain to her, you know, what she's going through and what's going on with her, she doesn't see it as a problem. Like, she'll talk like she's never did anything wrong. Like,
so
she's Mother Teresa.
What's the question for us then? How could we help you with this?
So the question is basically, what do I do? Do I permanently cut my mother off, or do I continually try to bring her in my life and hope for change, basically?
Neither one, Tracy. You're trying to get her to understand something that she can't understand.
Right.
And she has no insight into how her behavior affects other people. And the alternative of cutting her off completely, you said she has ways of sneaking back in. I think what you need to do is to have the ability, develop the ability to set some healthy boundaries to where you only let her get so close, but you don't cut her off. You have an ongoing relationship that's very carefully managed by yourself, because you understand there's no point in trying to get her to understand. That's where you lose it. You lose the battle because she's not going to understand. That's a big part of narcissism.
I just need to know what a healthy boundary, because I would, you know, it's a way where, like, I'll give you an example of what she just did recently. She would say, send me a picture of, like, a Bible verse or something. Oh, how you're doing? I'm like, oh, I'm fine. And then she'll talk about my cousin, which she's really cool with, that molested me when I was 4 or 5 years old.
Well, then why are you talking to her?
Then her conversation isn't safe for you, and so you have to, I believe, tell her, Mom, I was molested by this person you're praising. That shows me you're not really understanding or caring about me. And I can't talk to you.
I tell her that.
Okay, and then you hang up.
Then you hang up.
And then you hang up,
and
then you don't talk with her until she says, I'm sorry.
Why are you talking to her?
Because let me tell you, she likes it, though. She likes when I get riled up, like getting me stressed and riled up and angry. That's why I try to avoid any kind of confrontation or showing her my feelings.
Don't get riled up. Don't get riled up. She sends you a Bible verse. You send her back a text message that says thanks. And you don't pick up the phone to talk to her. You do it all by text, and if you do get in,
I never talk to her on the phone. Like, really,
but if you do get into a conversation with her, you manage it so that you can say, "I got to go, goodbye, hang up," and you set some limits. Don't let her get that inroad into talking with you directly, and your best bet is to text her. But you got to give up the illusion that someday she's going to understand and change. She's not going to.
My only thought here on a parent who is still treating a child like that.
Well, Tracy, sometimes we have to try to determine what the skills and capacities are of our parents. And as adults, they may be a person with whom I cannot have a relationship that is any deeper than a birdbath. It's just, hi, how are you? What's the weather? It's a shallow relationship, and that's all I can expect out of them, because that's all they have. They have no capacity to look at history, to face reality, to accept truth. Now, secondly, I noticed you use the terms riled up and cut people off a lot, and you do that with other people in your life. You get riled up and you cut people off.
To tell you the truth, it's only with her.
Okay, so then...
Because she knows how to do it.
Well,
as soon as you get her riled up, she's won.
Well, at some level, she may not even know she's doing it, which means she has power over you to make you feel things you don't want to feel. And that's where you need to do some work, perhaps, to say, why does this person have so much power that their words affect me so much? She doesn't get it. I think the three of us agree that she doesn't really get it.
No, that's right.
And so that means you need to work on, why am I so sensitive to her words? Why does everything she says set me off or rile me up? And then I have to cut her off, and it's such a severe series of reactive patterns that go over and over and over again. And I would want to work on me a little bit on that.
Okay, I'm glad you called. And here, let me send you How We Love. Boy, there's a book. It's going to open up a whole world of insight for you with her. All right, let's go to Mark, Knoxville, Tennessee. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and letting you know, based on your recommendation, I bought the book Money Rescued. I don't usually go off of the recommendations, but I respect you folks. I know you described it. That sounded really good, and then I gave a small donation on top. So I'll just enough to note, but it's enough to say, I agree with all the other people that are supporting you for the work you've done. I've listened to you folks for years. First time I've called in.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to ask you, you hear the music. Just hold your question. We'll get to you right after this. I think the book you're talking about is Memory Rescue, right?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you, it is a good one. It is a good one. I was just watching Dr. Amen on PBS talk about Memory Rescue. You can get that book at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number. We're asking people to support us. We'll send you this great New Life Christmas ornament. It'll be yours. We'll get it in the mail really quick. All you got to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, we'll take a break. Come back for the final segment of New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We've been asking people to help us out. $250 came from Pat and Nancy from Coppell, Texas, or Coppell or whatever, and Charlie and Irma. I think it's Coppell. Charlie and Irma, Fullerton, California. $20. Thank you so much. If you can help us, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? Thousands of people got help this year because people supported us, and we want to see that even more next year. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Right now, we're talking to Mark from Knoxville. Mark, what's the question? What's going on in your life? Thanks for calling
us. Well, I'm actually a certified professional coach. I'm usually the one helping people with stuff, but because this is about my oldest son, and I love him, I was told how I handled a situation with him. I didn't handle it well, and because I do, I want to get a second opinion from you folks that I respect very much after listening to you for years. So here's the situation, and then you can tell me what you thought, if I handled it okay or not.
Okay.
My son and his two younger brothers, a couple weeks before the situation, took me to a football game. Great family time. Couldn't have been better. And so he calls me a couple of weeks later, and he's just in anger, furious. Well, I could tell he'd been drinking, and the more he talked to me, I could tell he was drunk, and he was driving. So I just very quickly got into focus mode and just did everything I could to just get him home and out of the car, get him home and out of the car. I was patient, calm, and everything, and we got that taken care of, and I said, just call me the next day, and we'll talk. Just call me. And so he did that. Well, it was actually 2 days later, and I figured he was going to call me with the humble pie, but he's calling. He's all chipper. He's talking about all kinds of other stuff. I'm waiting for the humble pie. Instead, got a little half-hearted confession, just an offhanded little comment, and so I'm going, Lord, what do I do now? I thought I would be talking about it, but now he's not even bringing it up. So finally, he's getting through, and I said, well, I've got something I want to say. And he knew the way I said it, it was going to be about that. And he said, I'm not ready to go there. And I said, well, if you're not ready to go there, then we've got nothing to talk about until you're ready to do that. And he ended with, well, then just tell Mom I'm not coming for Thanksgiving. And I said, when you're ready, I'll be here. And that's how I ended. So people told me, we told his brother later that he felt bullied. He's in his 40s, he felt bullied. But a couple other people I respect, they said, you didn't handle that great. So what do you folks think?
Well, my thought is you didn't know he was going to say, I'm not going to come for Thanksgiving. That's one thought there. So it isn't like you knew what he was going to throw at you. And it seems like to me you did want to talk with him about, you know, kind of the most important issue there. And if you went back on that, I mean, you didn't really have an option. I think it would be horrible to say, oh, wait, I didn't realize you wouldn't come for Thanksgiving. Well, here, forget it. We don't need to talk about it. But let's hear what, I mean, Dave and Milo may disagree. They may have a different perspective. Let's hear that.
Well, I think, Mark, that you did the wrong thing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call him up and say, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to cut you off. I was just really upset. Because this is a pretty significant event that we need to at least understand something that's going on. You cut off communication with him, and that's not healthy, because you want to be able to direct him in getting some help for that by getting to AA or getting to a speaker meeting or something, to where you'll go with him and get some education in terms of what's going on. But I would call him up and say, you know, I was wrong in saying I don't want to talk to you unless we can talk about that. I don't want to cut you out of my life, but I really am concerned about this, and we need to have some coffee together and talk about it when you're ready, and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. Your all or nothing thinking is alarming, but it would be, if I understood the story correctly, he was angry when he was drinking and driving. And I would ask him the question, it sounds like you might be angry at me. Let me know when you're ready to talk about being angry with me, because I want to hear how, why, when, and where you became angry and how we can repair that. So I agree with Dave. I would go back and ask him for a do-over, and I think Dave's comments were super, like I was just really into the moment, etc. And I made
okay.
a mistake.
Yeah, he was.
Okay,
he was,
I agree with them.
His brother, but that's what the other people said. They said they didn't use terms all or nothing thinking or cut off communication, but they said, you know, you just kind of put him in a bad spot.
You were hurt.
You should have been so definitive. Yeah.
You were hurt and you were concerned, but I don't know that you realized that you were cutting him off then completely. So I would eat humble pie with him, so he knows that you can admit that you were wrong on something, and that would be a healthy thing to do, and redo it.
Yeah, here's how you admit you were wrong. I was wrong about that answer, so I think you guys are right. I think you've given him the best way to go forward. It is interesting. He's 40 years old. 40 years old. So, man, he needs to get that little drinking problem, which is a huge problem, taken care of now.
Before he gets a DUI.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, despite what the greeting card companies will tell you, holidays can really be a tough time. A lot of people have a hard time during the holidays. And if you want to help some folks, if you want to represent the help that's available, I want you to help us. I want you to help us now and throughout 2018. Every gift of any size, well, it's just another step toward us hitting this goal. We have to hit $1.5 million here in December. We did the $500,000 in November. We're grateful for that. But let me tell you, when you support us, here's what happens. We know that there's a man this Christmas that's going to be home watching his kids open some Christmas presents because he went to Every Man's Battle. He was sexually addicted. His marriage didn't crumble. He's not living in a trailer or a rental or something. There's a teenager that's going to be engaged with the family instead of isolating and cutting herself because mom found some counseling right here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we know a woman is going to be welcomed into her family's holiday celebration instead of being shunned because she found a support group, and she's sober now, and she found that by calling 800-NEW-LIFE. And we know there's going to be a couple. Oh, there are going to be a lot of couples celebrating their marriage together, and they would have been paying some major attorney fees for divorce if they hadn't gone to the intensive for intimacy. See, that's what happens. We know at Thanksgiving it happened. We know it's going to happen here at Christmas. Families are going to be together because you support New Life. And I'm just asking you to do whatever you possibly can to support this program. Maybe no one goes to a workshop, but we hear it all the time that somebody in another country, like Albania, hears the program. They know how to speak English and they do the things that we're talking about, and it changes things forever. Could you help us? Please do. It's the only way we can continue to do what we love doing. Our ministry was founded in 1988 on three principles. Let's help people transform their lives according to God's truth and get them into redemptive relationships. It's not what we think. It's what we really have sought and searched the Bible, where folks like Mylon and Dave and Dr. Sherry Keffer and Jill, they found what we believe to be the best to help people with their personal problems. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Dave. And if you need help, one of our workshops, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.